Good morning. Are we wide awake and alert? Can we rise to our feet? Thank you, Father, that you have granted unto us the breath of life again this morning. Father, we thank you that you have had your hand of protection upon us as we laid and we slept and we rested, Father. You've granted us the opportunity to be gathered here to get again today, Father. And Lord, as we open up your word and we utter words this morning, we want to acknowledge and confess that it's not what I say, God. It's your word. And Father, unless you bless your word, it will not accomplish. It will not hit the heart of man. So we pray this morning that you would bless and honor your word this morning. Oh, Father, we pray that it would produce life within us. Breathe your word into our souls this morning. Even as you blew the breath into Adam and he became a living soul. Would you do that for us this morning? Guide us, direct us, Father. Help us to see you and to hear you this morning. Not man. Father, I pray you would anoint the ears of the dear young people in front of me. And Father, if there be any that would have their ears stopped, not wanting to hear, Father, we pray that somehow you would nudge them, Father. Somehow, Father, we pray you would pull whatever is stopping their ears. You would open them up, Father. We pray for your Holy Spirit to go up and down these rows. Oh, Father, and touch us and minister to us according to our individual needs. It's only something that you can do. Man cannot do this. But we rely on you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is life. May it produce it in our lives. May it add to life where there is already life. May it give birth to life where there is no life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you read your Bibles this morning? Hey, that's looking better on this side this time. What's happening on this side? Yesterday we had more hands on the ladies' side. Let's not neglect the Word of God. It is life. It is our source of life. It is our manna for the soul. I told a young man yesterday evening that you stop eating this and what you have begins to fall asleep and die. How many of you have read the Bible from cover to cover? How many of you have read it more than once, cover to cover? Praise God. Those of us that have spent any amount of time in the Word of God, we know, and it's somewhat of a danger if we're not careful, because we can open up just about any passage and we kind of know what's to come, right? We already know the context, we know the writings, we know the scenes. I mean, we begin to read and we can already see beyond what we're reading because we know what's coming. But we're forgetful hearers. We're forgetful hearers. It's not necessarily that we have to actually open up this physical book every morning to stay alive. Although as long as we have it, we dare not neglect it. What's more important than physically opening up this book is to revive that which we have tucked away in our hearts. And opening up the written Word of God helps us do that. And we need to do that, lest it fall asleep and die. When the Word of God dies, there's something else that wakens up. Something dies, something else becomes alive. Young people, we cannot afford to neglect the Word of God. It is the bread of heaven, the sustenance for our souls. I hope none of you are getting overwhelmed or discouraged as we consider the Christian life. I am going to speak about an aspect of the committed Christian life this morning that might make me very unpopular. But I am not looking for the praise of men. I am not concerned about having the praise of men. Not that I want to provoke you and discourage you and have you turn your backs on me. I don't want to see that. But I am more concerned that we would live according to the Word of God. That our commitment to Jesus Christ would be the overruling factor, the dominating factor in our lives. I want that for my life. I want that for your life. And we can't have that and the praise of men. Now everyone that's on the same page, that embraces that same vision, that has that same goal, yes! We're there to encourage one another, and we can bless each other on the way. And we need to do that, especially in this wicked, dark, sinful world where we find ourselves today. We need each other. I need you. I'm so thankful that God has not ordained the Christian life in such a way that when I got saved, I'm walking all by myself in this world. Imagine that. Imagine if you were the only, you had no ties with other believers. Young men, I don't know how many of you are out in the workforce. You may find yourself in a workforce where it's ungodly. Isn't it nice to come home if you have Christian parents? Isn't it nice to be able to gather as a church with like-minded people and just relax? Not relax where we're falling asleep and kicking up our feet, but you know what I'm saying? You're not facing your enemy when you're looking at your brother and your sister. It's a blessing from God. This day and age, very few professing Christians actually know what it means to be committed to Christ. Have you ever talked to someone that's been in a divorce situation? Maybe even remarried? How many of those situations can you walk into where they, your view differs from theirs, and where they say, "Hey, I like what you, I like your stand, I like your vision." Most of them will not agree with you. Most of them will say, "Oh, come on, what's wrong? I mean, David had more than one wife. Solomon had more than one wife." They take you down a long road. They fight this thing. They don't like it when someone takes a stand against divorce and remarriage. There's opposition there if you're on the other side of the fence. Young people, if you're going to be committed to Jesus Christ the way a follower has to be committed, the world, those that are on the other side of the fence, they will be in direct opposition to you. Now, not everyone's going to be hostile. Not everyone's going to shake their fist in your face. But some will. Some will. I want to start with that verse that we started with yesterday morning. Can we say it together? It's a very simple verse, isn't it? Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Let's say it one more time. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Is that your heart this morning? We want to look at another aspect this morning of how we do that. How do we praise our God? How can we exalt Him with our lives? It's one thing to make a true and right and a good statement, but how do we do it? What does it look like? This morning, I want to look at the committed Christian from the aspect of a holy life. Holy. How many of you do kind of shrink back when you hear that word, holy? It's become a very distasteful word in Christian settings. Holy? Holiness? But if we claim Him to be our God, if we claim that we're going to praise Him and we're going to exalt Him, we're going to have to live holy lives. Much of today's modern Christianity does not know holiness. It's a strange foreign term. Many have no concept of what a holy life looks like. And I've said it and I'll say it again, young people. My heart is not to overcharge you, to overwhelm you, to make it look like the Christian life is so difficult and hard. But I want us to have a true and right perspective of what Christians ought to look like in this very deceptive age that we live in. There's a lot of young people, not just young people, but there's a lot of young people. When they hear the word holy, they back away. Now it would be interesting for me to have, if we had the time here this morning, to have each one of you describe to me in your own words what holiness is. We don't have the time to do that. But like I said, it's become an unwanted word. It's become very distasteful even in Christian circles. And I am not talking about circles way out there. It's become very distasteful in what is known the charity circles. We live in a day, nothing new, it happened way back with the children of Israel already, where everyone wants to do what's right in their own eyes. You know what? Holiness doesn't allow that. Young people, it's not your parents that are saying no. It's not the church that's saying, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. It's the holy God of creation. I have some groceries here this morning. And I'm going to ask for a volunteer. And it makes no difference to me whether it's a young man or a young lady. If someone would just be brave enough to come forward this morning, I have a little task for you. I don't know if you consider yourself to be too big for object lessons, but I like object lessons. Somehow it seems like if we stick something on the wall or we have something before our eyes, it helps ingrain it a little deeper. I don't normally shop groceries like this. All right, Brother David, your task is simple. Please separate these groceries into two categories. Now, can you tell me why you separated it the way you did?
Because this stuff right here is healthy and this stuff isn't.
Thank you. See, that wasn't so hard, was it? You go to a grocery store and you have options. And you can fill your cart with junk food and you can fill it with healthy foods, good foods, nutritional foods. I even actually took whole wheat because I figured we'd end up eating them. He came up here. He had no idea, I don't think. Not much of an idea of where I'm going. But he looked at the food. And it was, he didn't spend a lot of time. He just kind of looked it over and he started. Two categories. Holiness. Holiness. We'll get to it a little bit later here. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. Remember we talked yesterday how obedient children are a glory and an honor to their parents. To exemplify how we ought to glorify our God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. There's things I did in my past that I knew was sin. There was things I did in my past that I had no idea was wrong. Actually, I'll give you an example. When after I got converted, I before I got converted, I had a very foul mouth. I had a terrible temper. If things didn't go my way, watch out! And some of my character was formed and shaped by all the violent movies that I watched. I wasn't afraid to try to act out the things that I was filling my mind with. But even after I got converted, some of those big things that I knew were wrong, it seemed like Christ took them just like that. But then there were some things that I really had no idea. It's kind of like making that switch, which I did, from going to hard rock to just country and Western music. I thought I was a much better person now. I was listening to better stuff. But it didn't take long of listening to country music and reading the Word of God that I found out that these country singers were just as evil in their hearts. And I dropped the country music. Oh, I was a Christian now already though. I was. And I'm not being sarcastic. My soul was saved. There's a saying that says that God receives you as you are. He just simply refuses to leave you the way you are. And that is true. When God enters the life of a human being, when the Holy Spirit indwells a person, there ought to be changes. Because none of us are born whole. None of us are born holy. So, didn't take long and I realized country music is not for the Christian. No man had to tell me that. No preacher had to get up in front of me and tell me and confront me. Because I now had the Holy Spirit within me. The promise of the Father. So, from country, I went to country gospel. And I didn't sit there very long. When you have Christ, it ought to be evident. God changes you. God makes you more into His image. God shapes you and molds you and directs you, renews your way of thinking so that you're thinking with the mind of Christ and you start making decisions based on the mind of Christ. Rock. Country. Country gospel. And that day, Christian rap wasn't around yet. But young people, we live in a day where all of these things can now be done and they are accepted in the name of Christ. Has God changed? For me, it's a mere about 20 years that I've been walking with God. Has God changed over the 20 years, young people? The Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That leads me to think what He did in me, He will do in every believer. Ye have no need that any man teach you. That is not saying that you don't need someone to teach you or that it's not good to have a teacher. But if you found yourself isolated somewhere, like that Christian that we were talking about before, was not a part of a family somewhere, he was just on an isolated island like John, the old Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, there was no other believers there. I still believe that a person that would have had my lifestyle, the Spirit of God would have taken him down that very same road. Ye have no need that any man teach you. Because we have the Holy Spirit. But that's not saying you shouldn't listen to a teacher or a man. Some are taking that scripture and saying, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be a part of a body of believers. That's not what the scripture is saying. Young people, maybe you're sitting here, message after message after message, and you're saying, whew, that came pretty close, but I'm glad they didn't name that specific thing right there. We don't need to name it. If you're already thinking that, that's the Spirit of God putting His finger on your life in that area. Give heed to the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is after holiness. The Spirit of God is after holiness. Why? Because the Spirit of God is God. And God is not divided. Have you heard the term holier than thou? Or you just think you're holier than I am? Have you heard that? Who's heard that? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, for how many of you that have heard that, did it come from a total unbeliever, or did it come from a Christian, or did it come from did it come from a professing Christian? Why? Holiness, holy lies are distasteful. Holy lies bring condemnation upon anyone that is not living right. The other day, I had that mirror up here. How many of you actually saw my reflection in that mirror? Okay, and you didn't see my face though, did you? See, when we live holy lives, fully surrendered and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not mocking us, but they're getting a little glimpse of what God looks like. Young people, that's why we're here. To be an imitation, a reflection of who God is. Do you expect them to, just the religious and the unbelievers, do you expect them to run with you? See, now they expect us to run with them. Take it not strange. Take it not strange if they look at you and are puzzled. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't she come with me? Why wouldn't they join in on this or that or the other thing? Holy living. A clear separation from the junk to that which is good. Oh, today Christianity is like this. You know, everything is everywhere. Everything is in one pot and labeled Christian. We read Monday morning in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Very strong words. From such, turn away. You know what that looks like in life? How many of you are willing? How many of you are willing to turn away from such? Now we live in the same world, and we're going to rub shoulders with these people over here. And we're going to talk to them. We're going to interact with them. We're actually going, young men, you're going to do business with that world. Very dangerous to do if you don't have this line. Very dangerous. holier-than-thou attitude. The world misunderstands the Christian who is trying to live right and condemns him by saying he thinks he's better than me. Why do you condemn me? Why are you judging me? You know, a person that's living a holy life doesn't even have to say a word. And sometimes you hear those kinds of things. Why? Because our life speaks much more than this on our car. Much more. Our life overrides that. Sad to say, there's so many that have this upon their lips. They have this in their in singing. They have this on their cars. But they're living like this. Young people, don't be fooled. If you do not have a clear line of separation between holy and unholy, when someone comes and says, oh, you think you're better than me, you have a holier-than-thou attitude, it will lead you down the road of compromise. Let's be honest here this morning. Each one of us wants to have friends. None of us want to have enemies. Right? I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't know if I said it here yet or not, but I've said it elsewhere, that the Christian has no enemies, but the Christian has many enemies. You get it? The Christian, me as a Christian, I don't consider these my enemies. But as a Christian, I have lots of enemies. But they're not my enemies. They're just enemy with me, if you will. Not sure how to put that in words. As a Christian, I don't have enemies. I don't count them as enemies. But they hold me and count me as one of theirs. I'm afraid that much of this profession in our day, thinking, you know, let's pick one here. I mentioned this one on Monday. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. It's become a license to live my life the way I want. Hey, I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven. And I'll use the strong word again. It comes as a result, or at least largely as a result of this perverted doctrine of grace that we have. So twisted. You know what? The grace of God actually produces holiness. But not the grace of God in our day. The grace of God in our day. And much of Christendom, and much in the evangelical world, does not produce holiness. It's become a license to live my own life with Christ. I want to say this. We need to be very careful. As we live holy lives, and as accusations will come our way that you have a better than thou, holier than thou attitude, as those things come to us, we need to take heed as the people of God that we don't give off out of our own selves that kind of attitude. Because you know what? In all reality, this is true. And you take away Christ from our lives and we'll be like that drug addict on the corner of the street. No better. No better. So we have absolutely nothing to boast in, to be proud of, other than the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Nothing else but the Lord Jesus. He's the difference between me and the drunk down the road. He's the difference between you and that hearted down the road. And by the way, the drunk and the harlot may be wearing a cross around their neck. They may even have a cross tattooed onto them. They may even have the name Jesus tattooed into them. This is a very real world where we live, with much, much confusion and deception. Let's not allow the influence, the comments of unbelievers or religious people lead us down the road of compromise. And if you're there this morning, you know you're going down that road of compromise, I call you to repentance. I call you to get up, come before God, get on your knees, acknowledge that you've gone wrong, and turn aright. Repentance, turning from your own ways and turning not only from the sin, but to God. And He will lead you. He will direct you. He will empower you to live a right life, a holy life. Oh, but we want to be friends, right? We don't want to be called or labeled legalists. You know what? That's what holiness means in our day. Legalists. Legalism. Holiness is not legalism. Holiness, young people. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Professed Christianity today is living as though holiness is optional. It's not optional. We have no choice in the matter. If we don't embrace holiness, we don't embrace God. Because God is holy. Young people, if your church has an appreciation for holiness, if your church preaches separatism from the world, if your church has some standards, if you will, my dear young people, don't try to get away from it. Don't try to get away from it. Now I know there's a danger in having standards, but if the standard is the Word of God, then the whole Bible is our standard. Order your life according to the standard of God, and the standards of man will have no weight on you, because God's standard stands. I don't know of a church that has as many standards spelled out as what we find in the Bible. Now, I don't know. I know there's churches that have standards that are not Bible. But even there, I would caution you to be very careful how you react, because it may be a very good standard. It may be there for your own protection, even though it's not spelled out. There may be a principle there that you're not seeing. We don't want enemies. We don't want opposition. And we don't live a holy life for that purpose. But if we're going to live a holy life, it will come. Paul says to Timothy, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And let me just mellow that word persecution down for you this morning and say, you shall face opposition. Count on it. And if you're not willing to face opposition, then don't try to live the Christian life. We don't want it, but it's going to come. They did it to Jesus, and because they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to the followers of Jesus. Anyone who's committed to Christ, anyone who truly identifies himself as one of Christ, will face opposition. Prepare yourself. Maybe there's some sitting here, you need to reconsider whether you even want the Christian life. Count the cost. If holiness is too big of a standard, if holiness is too high of a standard for you, then the Christian life is not for you. Now it is for you, and it's not the will of God that any should perish. But instead of living one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, so to speak, finding that third road, that third way, that neutral road, get both feet into the world because they're there already anyway. Just acknowledge it. Just acknowledge it. James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Holiness separates us from this. These two are at war with each other. The friendship of the world is at enmity with God. Know ye not? James says. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That is strong language. But my dear young people, that's just how it is. You're either in this camp or you're in this camp. You are not walking in both kingdoms. The fact that you attend a charity church doesn't give you security. The fact, young ladies, that you're sitting here modestly dressed, having your heads veiled, does not give you your security, your assurance that you're a child of God. Now, it's beautiful. I don't want to see it any other way. But that's not your assurance that you're a Christian. Evaluate your lives, young people. Are you pursuing holiness? We're not talking about an absolute 100% perfection in the flesh here. But a righteous man falleth, but he also gets back up. It can happen, young people, that you miss the mark. But be quick, get back up. Don't stay there.
Apostle Paul says, we've had these words prior, we'll have them again. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beseech you therefore, dear young people, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, holy. Present your bodies holy. Acceptable to God, which is, we concluded, right? Didn't we conclude that the other day? It was but a reasonable response to live sacrificially. Young people, living holy lives is reasonable. It's a must. And verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not in the clothes we wear. That's not where holiness is found. Now, let me just say this. Holiness, our clothing, should be a complementation of what's in our heart. And that's where holiness is supposed to be. And because holiness is in the heart,
it manifests itself. Can I get a little practical here this morning? A little daring step on your toes, maybe a little bit. Holiness will cause us to wear proper clothing. Holiness will cause us to not fashion ourselves even in our hairstyles, young people. Holiness separates us. You don't need the latest fashions on your feet. You don't need, and young people, we have our own fashions within our own circles. May not be the fashion of the world, but it's become a fashion in our churches. It's sad. So sad that we have to separate ourselves even among ourselves. But young people, this is reality. As sad as it is, this is real. Our oldest is not quite 12 years old. See, that confirms what I said Monday, that I'm not just a little bit older than you. We have had to work with her some because of an influence from within the congregation in regards to clothing that, oh, we couldn't say it was modest. It was still modest. We couldn't say it was sinful. But we, as a family, said we're not going down that road. And we, here's our 11-year-old girl already facing it. Young people, that tells me a little bit of what you're facing. Are you willing to even separate yourselves among your own youth? Now, I'm not saying you have no contact with them. I am not saying you ought not to be friends. But young people, if you see other young people going down a road that you see spells danger, don't follow them and limit your contact with them. Do not consider the friendship between young people to be more valuable than God's principles whereby we ought to live. Do not allow some young person to get your heart from God. If you're sitting here this morning and that's the situation you're in where you've given your heart to other young people, get it back. It's not too late. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day of salvation. Today is still an opportunity to repent and be in right standing with God. Make that decision. Young people, you can't say that you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ if you're not willing to live a holy, separated life unto God. It will not work. Now, it ought not to be this way within the church, but it is. It is. Young people, do not order your life by comparing yourself with another young person. Compare it to the Word of God. That ought to be your standard whereby you live. Holiness. Let's define the word a little bit here. We're just getting started. According to the Webster's Dictionary, holiness is defined as dedicated to religious use, belonging to or coming from God, spiritually perfect or pure, untainted by evil or sin, sinless, saintly. I like that. That's a Webster's definition. That's not even some biblical scholar's definition. Another word that you find if you do a search on the word holy is the word sacred. And that word sacred refers to that which is set apart as holy or is dedicated to some exalted purpose. Now I went to the Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament, and it simply stated, separated unto God. That's not the only three-word phrase that it gave me, but that's the bulk of it. Young people, as you consider your life, and whether it's holy or not, let's keep it simple this morning. Is it separated unto God? Is it separated unto God? Is your life, is your heart, are your motives divided? Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You can try. You can try, and many try, but it will not work. Why? Because you're getting different commands from both masters. And those commands contradict each other. Where the one says, don't sin, the other one says, sin. Where the one says, love righteousness, the other one says, turn away from it. That's too hard. So you can't serve two masters because the commands coming from these masters are in direct opposition of each other. Holy living, young people. Holy living. Now, I appreciate Brother Moses' topic. And I would encourage you to do even your own studies on the signs of the times. It'd be good for you. But if you're not willing to live holy lives, if you're not willing to be separated unto God, then you can have all understanding of prophecy, and it profits you nothing. Don't sit here this morning looking forward to the next session. If your heart is not right with God, then allow the preaching, whether we're considering the Christian life as we are this week, all this week in the mornings, or whether it's the prophecies, the signs of the times, whatever is being preached, allow the preaching to draw you to Christ. And some of the signs and the times should move your feet if you're not there. Because today salvation is at the door. Very close. Allow the signs of the times to move you if you're not in right standing with God. We have to stop. Let me ask you this question. You're probably all familiar with the song. I'm not even quite sure what it's called. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let me just ask you this question in closing here this morning. As you consider holiness, is it beautiful? Is it beautiful? Do you find holiness something you want to embrace? It ought to be for every child of God. Something very precious, something very beautiful. Now, if we embrace holiness, it directs our life. It dominates us. If we're living holy lives, young people, you'll have no problem handing over your phone to someone who wants to browse your history. Because you're living a holy life. There's nothing to be hid. Nothing covered. Nothing to be ashamed of. Holy living. God help us. And this our day. To be a clear reflection of Him. God bless you.
I'm going to put these mints out in the back. You can help yourself.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.